kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine, you have stood by me in my
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. This is going to be an empowering hour. I can promise you now that you're going to hear insights today from a guest speaker that you have never heard before. We're going to take on the issue of what can we do individually and collectively to make a difference in this world as far as environmental issues, human rights issues, animal rights, all going to be in this one talk, starting in about 15 minutes. We're always going to begin with health and nutrition. Today, we're going to talk beyond pink. Now, yesterday, throughout the United States and here in New York, hundreds of thousands of people marched in order to prevent breast cancer, have better treatments, and that's noble, and I respect them for doing that. However, for those of us who know the truth about cancers, including breast cancer, we know that nothing that was done tomorrow or yesterday will do a single thing when it comes to cancer, except further brainwash women that their only approach is to write a check and get a checkup, like a mammogram, or go ahead and get their breasts removed if they have the gene that causes breast cancer, or take the tamoxifen or other chemotherapy agents or radiation. So today I'll begin with Dr. Madeline Castellanos, a medical doctor, wrote a short piece in Green Med Info about how to decrease breast cancer risks naturally. Now, later this week, I will give you the more in-depth view of what we know can reverse breast cancer and prevent it. But today, this will be an opening to that. Then vitamin D deficiency linked to poor brain function and death after a heart attack. Then good news, the blushwood berries kill cancer in 75% of the cases. So what's Big Pharma doing? They want to get a patent on it. Many older people have mutations linked to leukemia, lymphoma in their blood cells. Why is that important? What can we do about it? And a major breakthrough could help detoxify pollutants. This is from the University of Manchester, published in Nature magazine, this most respected scientific magazine in the world. Since when did mainstream talk about detoxification? They are now. And you'll be amazed at what they're saying can help it. Also, today, I'm going to talk about the lack of evidence in the newest study, a major study, for GMO safety, a peer-reviewed study. For all those listening right now from Washington State, from Colorado, other states that have either lost the labeling law and want to reintroduce it in the next legislative go-round, or still in there. We want to share insights with you why people should not be lied to, and if they are from the pro-GMO people, how you can destroy their arguments. And then, of course, we're going to have one of the most interesting lectures you've ever heard, ever, on any topic. Philip Wollen, Wollen, at an art exhibition by Joe Fredericks on the animal holocaust. This is important. And why is it important? Because I believe that we need a single focus, that we all join together and work on that single issue, especially younger people, that we can agree is important, that will do something for global warming and our health. And this is it. Otherwise, having lots of big marches, if there's not an outcome that makes a difference, really doesn't help anything. This would. Let's begin. And you can always listen over the telephone if you're traveling, and people do, by calling a number. Write down the number, please. So when it comes time to listen to this program, if you're not near an internet or a land-based station, call 712-432-7900. 712-432-7231, 712-432-7231. And just for your edification, 99.9% of the people listening right now are listening over archives. It's the internet. And that means that people listen to a program when it's convenient for them. You'll be hearing more and more this month about breast cancer because it's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I think it's important for everyone to know that National Breast Cancer Awareness Month was started, according to Dr. Madeline Castellanos, by Zeneca. Now, you've heard me mention Zeneca Pharmaceutical. They're now called AstraZeneca, in order to increase donations to find a cure. What this really means is giving money to pharmaceutical companies to come up with new drugs to treat breast cancer. This movement and many like it have been instrumental in increasing awareness of breast cancer and destigmatizing it for millions of women out there. But because all the fundraising is primarily targeted at raising money for new drugs, there's very little incentive to talk about prevention. In fact, some sources go so far as to say that there is nothing you can do to prevent breast cancer and also emphasize the genetic component of breast cancer, which leaves women feeling powerless and scared. Well, you've heard me say many times on this program, there is no certainty, absolutely zero, not a scintilla of certainty that if you have the so-called gene that expresses itself towards cancer, that you are going to get or die from that cancer. There's so many things you could do that could interfere in the process and prevent that from happening. More and more modern medicine is learning about how diet and changes in our food supply impact our risk of developing cancer. Now, I'm going to give you just some simple things. And these are things that we know can either help prevent damage to the DNA in your cell or recover the DNA if it should be damaged. Now, usually the body does an amazing and efficient job of fixing all the damage, unless that damage is much greater than the resources that you're using to fix them. In that case, some damaged cells cannot get fixed in time. They either die or multiply as a damaged cell. If they're able to multiply and carry that damage forward, the result could be the start of cancer. At any stage, the body can mobilize to fix any cells that it finds damaged. Let's make it just very basic. Let's start with dairy. I want to start with dairy because it has such a huge impact on women's breasts. But it's really downplayed by the dairy industry. Dairy products all come from cows. Well, of course, there are some that come from goats, but that's insignificant in the total amount. And milk from cows is designed by nature to make babies grow. In this case, baby cows called heifers. And the milk has a growth factor that naturally promotes the fast growth of cells. And breast tissue is a very sensitive area to that. This growth factor will encourage the body to multiply cells more quickly, especially breast tissue. That increases the chance for damaged cells to slip by the body's repair mechanism. Now, cows are often milked while pregnant so that farmers can get milk from them year-round. This means higher levels of all three natural estrogens, estrione, estradiol, and estriol, which can be up to 300% higher in commercial milk than is found in raw milk. And what I'm saying does not apply to raw milk. Estrogen is very stimulating for the cells and breast tissue, and that's what gives women breast tenderness. The reality is that dairy products these days are just too stimulating for breast tissue because it encourages the growth and division of those cells, which increases the chances that damaged cells could multiply before the body can fix them. In addition to the natural growth factors found in milk and the high level of estrogens, many cows are given hormones, which are all fat-soluble and therefore come out in the cow's milk. Now, breast tissue is particularly sensitive to added hormones, and you'll be taking these into your body when you have any dairy products. That means milk, cream, yogurt, cottage cheese, sour cream, any cheese. That's important. And lastly, most cows these days are fed grains grown with pesticides, which are very strong stimulators of estrogen-sensitive tissue. The pesticides are not carefully washed off, as you might do at home, because it's being fed to cows. The cows eat the grain, and then the pesticides get concentrated into all of the fat tissue, both in their muscles and in the milk they produce. So when you drink that milk or eat the dairy product that can have any milk fat, you're eating a concentrated version of pesticides. And these chemicals strongly activate your estrogen-sensitive tissue because the body recognizes them as a form of estrogen. So what is the takeaway message? Get rid of the dairy today. All right? It's that simple. Then we go to meat. Any meats that are fed grain instead of grass will have pesticide concentrated in the fat. That means that any chicken or pork or beef that is not grass-fed will have greater effects upon breast tissue. And this effect is also greater with a higher percentage of fat, like ground chuck versus ground sirloin, and especially hamburger and hot dog. It's loaded with this fat. And even meat claiming to have no hormones or no antibiotics is not always grass-fed. Buying grass-fed meat can be challenging, and for those of us who are vegan, we're suggesting don't buy anything, but if you are going to use it, you better be aware that if it's not 100% grass-fed, you run that risk. So give up meat, if at all possible, or at least reduce it to grass-fed, and reduce the amount in the diet. Maybe start with meatless Mondays, then after a month, meatless Tuesdays, then after another month, meatless Wednesdays, until one day you have no meat at all. Then sugar. I can remember when I did a debate on national media, MSNBC, with Bob Kane, and I debated a woman who represented all the chemical and sugar manufacturers. She said there was no evidence of its danger, and yet I took over 17 studies from peer-reviewed literature showing that it causes cancer in others. Today I could give you over 200 studies. So the debate today is not, is sugar dangerous? Does it cause dental cavities, obesity, cancer, brain aging? Yes, yes, yes. But it's, do we want to give it up? So one of the most difficult things to reduce in your overall diet is the amount of sugar that you eat. And what makes it so difficult is you get used to the higher and higher levels of sugar in your food without realizing it, and then almost every prepared or processed food out there contains a lot of sugar in it, especially the soft drinks. And the reason why sugar is such an important factor in the development of cancer is because sugar is a super fuel for cancer. Studies show that sugar directly feeds cancer and causes it to grow quickly, and the body cannot stop it under normal conditions. So many foods either have large amounts of sugar in them or they have artificial sweeteners which can cause you to crave more sugar. And one of the best things you can do for yourself is to learn to eat foods without added sugar. And I always believe in starting with foods like a simple juice. If you had a citrus juice, lemon or lime, grapefruit, and some green apple. It's a cleansing, detoxifying juice, great for your breasts, by the way, and breast health, and prostate health, brain health. So you're getting something that has a slight amount of sweetness. If you want it a little more sweeter, then take some raw, organic Manuka honey, a little bit, or stevia, a little bit, or palm sugar, a little bit. Do not use anything else. And also pay attention to labels where you see fructose or high fructose corn syrup. The liver actually creates more inflammation in your body out of fructose than it does from any other sugar. The sugars found in fruits are fructose. Now, but the pulp of the fruit provides fiber to help balance out those, and it's in small quantities. So if you're getting fructose from a cherry, you're also getting about 150 other healing agents from the cherry that turn off inflammation, and a very small amount of natural sugar. But if you're getting sugar in a teaspoon with nothing else added, it's an empty calorie. So it's the source of the sugar that matters. This is why drinking fruit juice, if it's just like sugared, it can be too much. And a lot of the juices, like, always cut a grape juice. That way you don't get all that sugar. And by the way, 30 grams of sugar in a soft drink, that overloads your body. So get rid of the processed sugars. Then gluten. Stay away from wheat. And you could have a dramatic impact on your health. Digestive problems in particular, especially reducing your risk of cancer, because the gluten affects your immune system. It throws it out of balance, and that can adversely affect the immune system's ability to repair DNA. And then there are a lot of gluten-free grains now. Then make sure you pay attention to the fats in your diet. Get rid of all the trans fats. Go to walnut oil, olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, the pure virgin organic unheated oils. Get rid of the synthetic oils. Yeah, like peanut oil, and when it's called vegetable oil. And also, the clearer the oil, the more processing, get the darker oils. So that's just a way that we can make a difference in helping people prevent cancer, especially breast cancer. Now, we want to help our brain function better, and we want to help prevent death from cardiac arrest. According to Medical News Today, a major study from the European Society of Cardiology in Switzerland found that, quote, patients who have been resuscitated after sudden cardiac arrest may be at a higher risk of poor brain function or death than if they were taking vitamin D. So the lower your amount of vitamin D, the less likely you are to survive and have poor brain function. But if you have good amounts of vitamin D, you can survive and not have that problem. You'd be more likely to have a better result. So vitamin D is inexpensive, easy to take. Here's some good news. Blushwood, B-L-U-S-H-W-O-O-D, blushwood berries, according to this report from Natural Society, kills 75% of the cancer cells. Quote, many of the pharmaceutical industry's attempts to co-opt Mother Nature end up failing when you see how many cancer-killing compounds are either suppressed or that are used to try to make billions on a new drug. It's phenomenal. Now, companies like GlaxoSmithKline and Pfizer try to patent it. The fruit from the blushwood tree, which very specific growing requirements, and thus far has only been found to thrive in far north Queensland in the middle of the Australian rainforest, kills cancer cells in three different ways, and it does it fast. Quote from the article, it kills the tumor cells directly, it cuts off the blood supply, and it also activates the body's own immune system to clean up the mess that's left behind. End quote. Now, these results were discovered by an 8-year study led by Dr. Glenn Boyle, medical researcher at the Institute in Brisbane. In 75% of the cases, the cancer never returns. Quote, there were no side effects, and the compound started working in 5 minutes, making cancerous melanoma and neck tumors disappear in a matter of days, end quote. So these results prove yet another reason to protect the lush jungles that are dwindling due to deforestation. Dr. Boyle, quote, there is a compound in the seed. It's a very, very complicated process to purify this compound, and is why it's there in the first place. There were no side effects, but what amazed scientists was how fast the fruit compounds worked. The drug took effect within 5 minutes, and tumors disappeared within days. And by the way, let us not forget the sea cucumber, found to kill 95%, that's 95% of cancer cells and shrink tumors. Quote, the surprising thing for us, and the thing that we don't see very often, is the speed with which this occurs. Usually when you treat a tumor, it takes several weeks for it to resolve. But this is very, very, very rapid. There's a purpling of the area of the tumor itself, and you see that within 5 minutes, and you come back the next day and the tumor's black, and you come back a few days later and the tumor's fallen off, end quote. The tree is apparently very picky about where it grows. Currently, it's only seen on the Atherton Tablelands, and scientists are trying to expand that to different places to see if it could grow on a farm. Dr. Boyle was hopeful for the fruit compound to be used for tumors that can be accessed by direct injection, but said it would not be effective against metastatic cancers and therefore could only add to chemo and radiation treatments rather than replace them. So that's important. And also, many older people have mutations. They have lymphomas, they have leukemias, and this is from Washington University School of Medicine, and they're not even aware of it. This was published in Nature Medicine. So here's something that is good. If you begin to juice, especially juices that are dark green, and then use diluting juices, generally about 20 to 1, meaning 20 times cucumber, 20 times celery, as you would one time watercress, arugula, parsley, kale, sprouts, you get a combination that will help detoxify the body. And then by taking curcumin and curcuminoids at high doses, along with vitamin C and green tea, the active ingredients, you can help repair damage to the DNA, repair the immune system, so you're not going to be as susceptible as the average person getting older, and help prevent those melanomas and leukemias. I'm Gary Knoll. Now we're going to go directly to a speech by Philip Wolin at an art exhibit of the art of beautiful works, by the way, terrifying but well done, by Joseph Fredericks, Fredericks, entitled The Animal Holocaust. I think you'll find this motivating. Please listen.
King Lear, late at night on the cliffs, asks the blind Earl of Gloucester, "How do you see the world?" And the blind man, Gloucester, replies, "I see it feelingly." And shouldn't we all? Brendan Kelly, in his great book called The Book of Judas, said, "If you want to serve your age, betray it." But what does that mean, to betray your age? It means expose its lies, humiliate its conceits, debunk its arrogance, demolish its certainties, expose its secrets, and condemn them to face harsher truths. Great art changes you. Look around you. It rearranges the furniture of your mind. It cuts, it cures, and sometimes terrifies. But it is truth laid bare by brushstrokes. What Joe does has a quality to it. These are subversive acts accomplished by poets, artists, and writers, people like Joe. Particularly today in this environment where we are now entering the new dark ages. Hitler, in 1941, sent one of his officials to Paris to enlist Pablo Picasso in the Nazi cause. And in Picasso's apartment, he saw the painting Guernica. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen it, depicting the hideous bombing and torture of the Basque village by the Germans. The German official, trying to flatter the artist, said, "This is wonderful. Did you do it?" And Picasso replied, "No. You did." Look around you. Joe didn't do these pictures. We did. Human beings. We did it. But it was her brush that brought them to life. Now, Rudyard Kipling wrote of young men dying in World War I, "And if they ask you why we died, tell them that our fathers lied." That legacy, that litany of lies continues today. You see, the world is crying out for only two things: leadership and the truth. Tonight, I'm simply going to tell you the truth. The wise Chinese have a term for it, Jiang Jiao. Listen to the friend who tells you the truth, even when it hurts. So let's just tell the truth, fearlessly and forcefully. That is what the Sanskrit word satyagraha means, the truth force. And that one word delivered freedom to India from the shackles of British rule. As Alvin Toffler said, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. This is the journey that Joe has set us all on. Now, I have long admired Count Moltke, the famous Prussian general, a soldier who preferred to think rather than to speak, a man silent in seven languages. You see, it takes courage to stand up here and speak. It also takes courage to sit down and listen. So what made me decide to leave the world of lobsters and Learjets and exchange it for shelters and slaughterhouses? To take nothing but pictures, own nothing but memories, leave nothing but footprints, kill nothing but time. You see, something happened to me. I heard the screams of my dying father as his body was ravaged by the cancers that killed him. And I realized I'd heard those screams before. In the slaughterhouse, on the cattle ships to the Middle East, and a dying mother wail as a Japanese harpoon explodes in her brain as she calls out to her calf. Their cries were the cries of my father. And I discovered that when we suffer as equals. And in their capacity to suffer, a dog is a pig, is a bear, is a boy. So tonight, as I look out into your faces, I recall the words of the Greek poet Horace. Change only the name, and my story is also about you. In human history, only 100 billion human beings have ever lived. There are only 7 billion human beings alive today, and yet we torture and kill 2 billion sentient, living, loving animals every week. That's 2 billion every week. And we stab and suffocate 1 billion ocean animals every 3 hours. Trillions of fish are ground up into pellets to feed to livestock. Vegetarian cows are now the world's largest ocean predators. The oceans are dying in our time. By 2048, all our fisheries will be dead. The lungs and the arteries of the earth. Oceans sequester more CO2 than all the forests of the world put together. On this basis, no child under the age of 5 will ever reach retirement age. It is a mathematical impossibility. If that does not chill your blood. 10,000 entire species are wiped out every year because of the actions of one species. And we are killing species before we have even met them. And we now face the 6th mass extinction in cosmological history. If any other organism did this, a biologist would call it a bloody virus. It is a crime of unimaginable proportions. Now, I should tell you that on this planet, there are 2 peak predators: human beings on land and orcas in the oceans. In the 20th century, human beings have killed 200 million members of their own species. Orcas killed none. And don't expect any protection from your elected governments. In the 20th century, 100 million human beings have been killed by their own governments. So what does that tell you about us? Edmund Burke, the great statesman and philosopher, wrote, "For evil to prevail, all it takes is for good people to do nothing." Well, let me tell you, doing nothing is no longer an option. I've traveled a long way, 32 hours, and I'm kind of jet-lagged, but I've come here with very simple messages. Please, please, take what I say seriously. Victor Hugo said that there is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. Well, let me tell you now that this is a new idea. Animal rights is now the greatest social justice issue since the abolition of slavery. And it is not just about animal rights. It is also about human wrongs. It is a revolutionary event more powerful than the Industrial Revolution, the Hubble telescope, or anything ever conceived by Galileo, Copernicus, Einstein, Darwin, or Freud. Because it protects the most precious of all things, life. People like us in this room are on the right side of history. Now, happily, the world is changing. 10 years ago, Twitter was a bird sound. WWW was a stuck keyboard. Cloud was in the sky. Skype was a typo. 3G was a parking space. Google was a baby's burp. And Al-Qaeda was my plumber. Now, the most beautiful word ever written in any country at any time in human history came from India, from the Upanishads 3,000 years ago. Ahimsa, non-violence to any living being. It means non-violence in what we say, what we do, and what we think. It is elegant, empowering, and enduring. Not because it describes our nationality, our politics, our religions, our diet, or our lifestyle, but because it describes our character. Our character. It says we oppose violence in everything we do. Now, the great anthropologist Margaret Mead said that never doubt that a small group of individuals can change the world. Indeed, that is the only thing that ever has. Well, there are only 13 million Jews in the world, and yet they play such a vibrant, exciting, wonderful role in international affairs. Look at the number of Nobel Prizes that they win. Trix and I were at the Olympic Games a few years ago, and we were thrilled when Australia won more medals than every country in the world, except for Russia and the United States. And we had a population of only 20 million people. Tibet's population is only 3 million. But who hasn't heard of the plight of the Tibetan? But there are over 600 million vegetarians in the world. And that is bigger than the United States, England, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Canada, Holland, New Zealand, all put together. If they were one nation, they would be bigger than the 27 nations of the European Union. And despite this massive demographic footprint, they are still drowned out by the raucous, hunt-and-shoot-and-killing cretins who believe that violence is the answer when it should not even be a bloody question. But we live in a world of media soundbites. It reminds me of Hannah Arendt's book, Eichmann in Jerusalem, where she coins the term, the banality of evil. This is how a deceitful mainstream journalist at the Australian of the Year Awards in Canberra twisted my innocent words. "Mr. Wallen, I'm surprised a man of your standing would say that. Meat is murder. A little old lady with a budgerigar is offending God. Livestock production is unethical. There will be no peace until we stop killing animals. Industry is unattractive. And animals are like human children. Can't you see how offensive that is to our rural audience?" Well, this was my diplomatic counterpunch. Well, you certainly bludgeon the English language to death. But if you're going to quote me, you might want to try doing it honestly. I did say, a robin redbreast in a cage puts all heaven in a rage. But that came from William Blake in Auguries of Innocence. And by the way, it was the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who said, a sparrow does not fall from the sky without Allah knowing. And yes, I did say, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, applies to the murder of any living being. It was inscribed on the human breast long before it was ever proclaimed from Mount Sinai. But actually, that was Leo Tolstoy, not me. And I did say, the roots of cruelty are not strong, just widespread. But a time will come when inhumanity, protected by custom, will succumb to humanity championed by thought. A man is ethical only and only when all life is sacred to him. But actually, that was Albert Schweitzer, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. And yes, I admit I did say, as long as we kill animals, there will never be peace. It's only a small step to the concentration camps of Hitler and Stalin. There will be no justice as long as man will stand with a knife and destroy those who are weaker than him. But that was Isaac Singer, a Nobel Prize winner in literature. And yes, I admit, I did have something to say about animals and children. The wolf will lie down with a lamb, the leopard with a young goat, the young lion with the young ones of the herd, and a little child will lead them. But that came from the prophet Isaiah. And no, I didn't say a thing about greed and ambition. That wasn't me, that was Jesus. Blame him. Behold the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. King Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. And for good measure, he threw in a left hook and an uppercut. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So are you, as a journalist, suggesting that your so-called rural audience is offended by Nobel Prize winners and the prophets, or should I just go home and burn my books? I seem to recall that was a strategy favored by Pol Pot. Well, the journalist was speechless, and he attacked me the next day for being a radical. Ladies and gentlemen, we need another radical Copernicus and Galileo to remind us that we are not the center of the universe. Animals are not just other species. They are other nations. And we murder them at our own moral peril. I recently addressed the world's parliament of religions, and I told them that the peace map is drawn on a menu. Peace is not just the absence of war. It is the presence of justice. Justice must be blind to race, color, religion, and to species. If it is not blind, it will be used as a weapon of terror. And tonight, there is unimaginable terror in those ghastly gulags, those Guantanamos we call factory farms. So talking about peace whilst killing animals is like loving literature and burning books. They are mutually exclusive ideas. So in my personal journey through the heart of darkness, like Joseph Conrad in the Belgian Congo, I've learned some truths. A man is measured not by how much money he makes, but how much of it he is willing to give away, particularly to strangers. And my heart resonates to the words of W.H. Auden. If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. I did not find my character on Wall Street, because it lives on the road to Damascus. I hope at some stage, because I know I've got very limited time to speak to you, I really hope that you will do something tangible in the future to change the way we live. If you came here tonight and had a nice evening, and you bought a painting, and you changed your ways in some small way, that would be great. But it won't be enough. In the West, the average person kills or is responsible for killing over 4,000 animals in their lifetime. We don't just want you to change your ways and what you eat and wear and think. We actually need you to become activists. Be active, be strong. We need you greatly. The last words of the Great Gatsby read, "So we beat on, boats against the tide, drawn back ceaselessly into the past." I ask you, are we to live forever in a sick, smug, and cruel past? Let's not relive history. Let's make history. Because that is what leaders do. They make history. The brutes and the bullies have been Goliath.
And that is Philip Wolin at an art exhibition by phenomenal artist Joe Fredericks. And each of the pictures, paintings, depicted animals being slaughtered or as if they were the Jews in the concentration camps, a form of animal genocide. And it's called the Animal Holocaust. Now, why is this important? Why do we need to hear this? Because I believe that we are at a moment in time where many of my generation, the baby boomers, are very concerned about the world that we are allowing our children to live in without the joy, the hope, the resources, the beauty that we entered into this great world. We have polluted our planet. We have polluted our body politic. We have destroyed democracy. We have given over the reins of making decisions to the psychopaths and sociopaths. And we're aware of that now. But it is really the youth that are coming forward to demonstrate against these injustices, as we did in the 1960s against the Vietnam War and against women's rights and civil rights. I remember going to Washington to protest outside the South African embassy. Well, we don't see my generation out there today. Rare is that person. They're in their comfort zone, or they're in depression, or they're in indifference or denial. So I'm counting upon the youth in the next 12 months. And we're working with a number of youth, including one on this network, Rachel Trachtenberg, who I gave a promise that I would provide you with a forum if you would rally millions of young people, teenagers like yourself, or no, she just hit 20, and other people, to work against the destruction of our planet by doing one thing: give up animals in your diet. Do you realize how powerful that is when you say no to any longer having anything with a heartbeat or a face? It's that simple. Then you're stopping 18% of the massive amount of methane pollution, which is more than all trucks, cars, planes, and trains combined. You're also helping stop the destruction of the land, including the great rainforest, for planting genetically engineered soybeans to feed the cattle and pigs and chickens. You're helping to prevent a lot of heart disease and cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and obesity and dementia. Just imagine what good can come from this. But we need a cause, and becoming a vegetarian, a healthy way of becoming a vegetarian, a conscious way of addressing the environment, it's all in one. So that's our movement. I already have the film completed. It's been sitting there. It's a multi-award-winning film. It's not been released to the public. It's been done for almost 9 months, and now I'm working on the book and ways of helping people to make the changes in their life. Your comments, your feedback on TalkBack, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, on what you've heard and your input. We'd like to hear from you. Now we're going to take a moment. Go in studio. Joining me is very popular host here on Progressive Radio Network, Utrecht Lead. Hi, Utrecht.
Hello, Gary. A pleasure always to be with you.
Thank you.
And especially in person, or as they say in Brooklyn, in poison.
Yeah. Well, we have a special for the people, and this is the only program that raises any funds for the Progressive Radio Network. And we have 85 outstanding hosts and producers, and we have a lot of plans to even bring some more exciting people on the air. And all the money that I'm going to raise right now, whatever it is, goes to help pay the bills here. this is something that a lot of people have asked for, so I'm offering it today, red stuff. Now, why should you be concerned about red stuff? Because we're not eating enough fruits and vegetables in our diet, especially that of color, because it's the colorful vegetables that contain the highest level of the polyphenols and antioxidants. Now, if you're watching, I'm holding a jar of the red stuff here, and it's raw. That's big today. Raw is big because it's got the enzymes. It's all natural. So here's what you're not getting. No GMOs. It's vegan. It also has what is called ORAC. That is an oxygen reducer, meaning there's antioxidants, big time, 10,000 value in a single dose. Give you an idea, the average person with a good diet, not a bad diet, a good diet probably gets around 1,000 a day of ORAC. I'm giving you 10,000 in one serving. Here's what you're getting. Now just ask yourself, under normal conditions, would you eat all this in one day? Because with one serving, you're going to get this. By the way, you're getting 8 grams of fiber, only 40 calories, great for diabetics, hypoglycemics, people on weight loss programs. You're getting this and nothing else. You're getting cranberries, a superfood, red beets, a real big superfood, grape extract, tomatoes, tart cherries, apple pectin, acerola berry, mangosteen berry, the organic flaxseed, prunes, macai berry. Most people have never had that. You ever had a macai berry?
No.
It's from South America. It's really powerful in its healing.
Acai berry, but
no,
not
this,
macai.
Acai is one. No, this is M-A-Q-U-I. You're getting red wine extract, oat beta-glucan, plums, oranges, pears, pomegranates, mangoes, watermelons, papaya and passion fruit, kiwi and green tea extract, bromelain, digestive enzymes such as protease, amylase, lipase, cellulase, papain, resveratrol, cinnamon, ginger, probiotics, 8 billion, that's 8 billion, non-dairy from 5 different sources in there, bananas, and natural strawberry flavor with stevia. And it's a big 500 grams. That's our special.
What's the advantage of red stuff, though? What does red stuff do to your body?
Well, you have over 100 and anywhere from 100 to 200 different chemicals that are in the plant. And they do different things mainly for the plant. The fact that they are in the plant and protecting the plant and helping the plant against its natural predators or excessive sunlight is good for the plant. When we take it into our body, it also happens to have very antioxidants, probiotics. It has the polyphenols. It has the natural phytonutrients that are known to be very beneficial. Also, these are what we call the two proestrogens, meaning not the animal 16, which are bad, but the vegetable 2s, which are good, meaning they actually stimulate a better balance in our body. These are the fibers that we need, cleansing fruit fibers, which are very soft and in our body. These flood our bloodstream, and the nutrients are released in our bloodstream, go to every cell in the body. So this is why when you're told, have your fruits and vegetables, we agree. The science is there. But then the question is, if you're going to have your fruits and vegetables, are you going to have one fruit a day, or what kind of fruit you're going to have? And here you're getting over, right there, 34. So you couldn't sit down and eat 34 fruits. But because I take all these into a state-of-the-art lab, I wash them, literally hydrogen peroxide wash, rinse them, and then press out the juice. And then the juice is pressed, then it goes into these containers, stainless steel containers, and then the water is wicked off at room temperature, and you end up with this powder. And it doesn't get any more powerful, because if you drank a glass of juice, about 97% of that juice is water. So the juice, like orange juice, apple juice, prune juice, tomato juice, if you took away the 97% that was water, you're left with 2-3% of what the actual active ingredients are.
The essence.
So that's what I've done. I've taken away the water, and I've given you a high-level concentration of what your body actually benefits from. Now, I never make a claim. I never say, oh, take this and it'll reduce that, it'll prevent that. I never do that. But people can go up on the internet, they can Google probiotics, they can Google beta-glucan and raspberry and green tea, and they can see what every one of these things do. And then they'll say, wow, now I know why I should have that every day. You know, my body, my blood, my organs are going to say thank you for taking this time to give me what I really benefit from. The science is on the side of this, not on the side of bacon and eggs and, you know, commercial processed orange juice and coffee. All right?
Okay.
And a soft drink if you're a kid, or a muffin or a bagel. Death and disease come from bad choices. Health, wellness come from good choices. I'm merely trying to put the best possible information out there and give people the best possible product that I could invent, create for their health. That's all I can say. So you want the red stuff? You're going to get it at a great price. Red stuff, normally $110, you're getting it for $69.99, lowest we've ever offered it. Call this number to get it. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or come into our Vitamin Closet, 83rd and Broadway, 7 days a week, noon to 7, and pick up a bottle.
So this is normally $110, and it's worth every penny. But you are offering this as a gift to those people who intend to support PRN.
Yes.
For $69.
Yes.
And I'm waiting to hear all these phones just ringing off the hook. This is really why I'm here today, to make sure. Because, Gary, apart from all of this, your history in broadcasting has been about educating people and doing so to extend life, to improve life, to add to their quality of life. And you have done so, quite sacrificially. And certainly PRN is an example of that. You plow your money into this network. And today, I primed the audience last week. This is the week we have to put our hands to the plow and also come through in support of you for the work that you have been doing. And the work that you have been doing is erecting a system that allows this information to literally reach the world. So what we are asking is that you support Gary and support PRN by supporting Gary. And let's hear those phones ring at 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. At some point in the day, I am going to be answering the phones myself. I want to hear that these phones are ringing and that they are an expression of your endorsement of the way Gary works here.
Thank you, Eutrice. And by the way, Eutrice is going to be giving a lecture here. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're very excited about that this coming Saturday. And we'll give you more information. One other thing we're going to offer today, and that is the new premiere of the new film I've been working on for 5 years. We're qualifying it for the Academy Award. It's been selected to go into the Quad Theater from the 5th of December to the 11th with 35 showings. And we were working on it until this morning. Val was here, our senior producer on it, editor. Nonstop work. It's done. Color correction, sound correction. The greatest minds on how we become a society and have and have nots. Looking at the Federal Reserve, looking at the Treasury, look at corruption, the oligarchs, looking at the World Trade Organization, looking at the banking system, looking at the lives of average people, looking at the desecration first and then the evisceration of unions, looking at the loss of a living wage, the loss of middle income stability, the equity partnerships. There has never been a film like this. This is the most powerful film, and I've done a lot of powerful films. This will be the most powerful film. It's the longest film I've ever done. It's an hour and 51 minutes. And it's premiering. It's set in stone now. We are on hard deadlines. And there'll be 35 screenings. Now, I'll be at the 2 every night, the 7 o'clock and the 9 o'clock. We'll have panels there. It's also screening and premiering in Los Angeles at the at the theater out there. More on that. It's up on our website. You can get your tickets there. Now, the tickets, because they're a fundraiser, are $30. But here's what you're getting. You're getting the screening. You're getting two copies of the film. And you're getting a $25 book, hardback book, Living in the Moment, Prescription for the Soul, all for $30. Now, that's $120 value for $30. And every penny goes to this radio station. So all of my premieres have always sold out, and people really appreciate them. So if you want to join me on December 5th through the 11th, you call 877-627-5065, or if that should be busy, call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, push 0, and you will hear from Bianca, and you'll say, I'd like to come to the premiere of Poverty Inc. on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or Monday at 7 o'clock. You choose the day and you choose the time until those are full, and then it's just whatever you can get. All of the films will be full, so join us. This is a big event. It takes on one of the most major issues of our time: income inequality, the oligarchs, how they've done it, who's responsible, what we can do to take it back, their positive solutions, and you name them. You know, Professor Francis Fox Priven and Greg Palast and Naomi Prinz, we have Dr. Reich from University of California at San Francisco, Berkeley. We have everyone who's doing anything progressive in here. They're all, Gerald Salante, Max Kaiser, they're all in here. So I must have 50 people I filmed for this. I've never filmed this much, and this is where I've been going out when I go out for 3 months at a time. Mm-hmm. I'm filming this. It's done. The film is going to make a major impact, I feel. Because our last two films, Vaccine Nation and also The Seeds of Death, have been shared and searched over the internet hundreds of millions of times, hundreds of millions. So we're expecting this, which has universal interest, to be up there. So come and join me for the premiere. It'll be in New York at the Quad on 13th Street. And there are 5 showings a day. You select your time. Call one of two numbers, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, or 646-926-5422. Let's say hello to Gregory from Maryland. Hi, Gregory. You're on.
Hello, Gary. You finally done it. You pushed me over the edge. I've been on the fence a long time. This goes back to when I was 40 and I was told that I had borderline high blood pressure, and the doctor said, no problem. All you have to do is quit drinking. Well, I told the doc, give me the pills, man, you know, because I wanted a different outcome without making a change. So now that I've heard this speaker, not only will I make that change, but I've already contacted Luann concerning starting a healthcare support group in my area. So, you know, it's really appreciate this speech today.
I was so moved by Philip Wolin's talk, and it reminded me of two things. First, I don't know if you listen to the program very often, do you?
Every chance I'm around a computer.
Okay, well, Gregory, then you might have heard me say that the future has allies that we have not tapped into.
You got it right.
And those are the retired, wealthy, successful people who, during their day, live by the mantra of profits for the bottom line. And they got their profits. They got their bonuses. They live in Naples, Florida, in the gated communities, or in West Palm Beach, or in Flagstaff, or Palm Springs. All these wonderful, you know, very exclusive communities. But now the phone doesn't ring. Now no one reaches out to them. Now they don't have anything to do except play golf or sit around. And at one time, imagine being a dynamic alpha male or female. where every single day everyone must come to you and acknowledge first that you're the policymaker, and what should we do? So when you went into a meeting, you listened to other people, but it was ultimately your decision. Mm-hmm. No one calls them now unless they want some money for some fundraising.
Yep.
And generally, they don't get involved in anything. They have wealth. So here's one of them. Philip Wollum was one of them.
Mind you. Good.
Now, maybe you ought to go up and look up about who Philip Wollum, W-O-L-L-E-N, his background. He was one of the titans of Wall Street. But like some of these individuals, one day they have an epiphany. They have a catharsis. And where they may never have done this during their lifetime, I'm not saying he did or didn't, but now they awaken. And once you get an alpha male or female awakening, and they realize that there's something that they want to be impassioned about, they still have their Rolodexes. They still can get people on the phone. They can pledge to a cause. They can still use all that insight of organization and media savvy. You have one of these people go on television on a major network show, they're not going to be discredited. And that's what the industries have feared. They have feared someone who was once powerful and popular going over to the other side. Because when they do, it's hard to attack them. But that's what we need. Now, we need everyone, but we really need the youth, because the youth have the purity of thought, the unbridled energy, and the dynamics of still being outraged and wanting to do something about it. Now, there's too much put down of what it means to be young in America today, because we've seen some examples, but mind you, these are examples of people who might be selfish. But what we're not looking at are all those people who don't have a silver spoon, have to work themselves to death, working in school and then working a job or two after school in order to get through college, who don't come from a gated community, but come from working middle-class parents. Frequently, one or the other is not working. They're one of the 96 million Americans who could work who are not, one of the 16 million who are out of jobs, who are not even counted on the unemployment list. And so you get them impassioned by something, and they want to take their energy and put it to something good. So
well,
now
I'm pumped up, Gary. And
now let me just finish my thought here.
Okay.
So you take the youth who can organize and on network, and Twitter, and you get good articles, good videos, you get good demonstrations going, you build it, and then you bring in the people who have now are willing to join the human race as a human being and not merely as someone who's objectified, commodified, and commercialized a product or a service. And you bring it from the highest ideal together, and you have a combination that will have its day and can make fundamental change. Imagine if tomorrow 20 million people in the world simply stopped eating meat.
Ooh.
Could you imagine the impact that would have on Burger King, McDonald's, on Kentucky Fried Chicken? Could you imagine what it would have on their advertising budgets? Could you imagine what that would have then on the type of comments that would be on television? Could you imagine then how many articles and books and documentaries would be done on that? So this is where we're going. And Gregory from Maryland, what kind of work you do, Gregory?
I'm a retired postal worker, and you wouldn't believe this, but for 20 years I ran a fishing club, and for me to give up fishing and thousands of dollars worth of equipment, that's a commitment.
So we have your commitment that you're going on the side of the people now and
nope.
The animals.
Yes, indeed.
So as of today, you're never going to have to look an animal in the face and feel its heart presence without giving it love and not thinking of it as your next meal.
Yeah, you got that right.
All right, Gregory. Thank you very much. And will you get that group organized, and we'll let all of our listeners from PFW, our sister station that I was on for 31 years, and chose not to go back on there because they weren't honoring their premiums.
I heard the show.
All right. And I said I can no longer go on and support a station that does not honor its listeners' pledges. It's unethical, immoral, it's illegal, and I won't do it. And I haven't.
That's right.
So I was willing to give up 31 years. I did the same thing on KPFK in Los Angeles after 31 years. But that doesn't mean we don't have an awful lot of people listening to Progressive Radio Network from Washington. So you get it together, and I'll come down there, and we'll do a big kickoff.
Right. Right on.
All right?
Yeah, Gary, thanks.
All the best to you.
So, Gary, let's summarize with red stuff again, because I really want to hear those phones ringing. I know they are, but we need to keep that pace up because we are in fundraising mode today. Today is a big day to say, Gary, we love you, we cherish you, we value what you do, and here is the proof of our endorsement of your work.
That's what we want to do. But right now, you're going to take over because I got to run upstairs and raise some money for the stairs.
You go right ahead. You go right ahead.